Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. A congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 86, the stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Let all the earth Jehovah fear. Let all that dwell both far and near in awe before him stand. For lo, he spake, and it was done, and all with sovereign power begun, as stood fast at his command. And what follows, Psalter 86, the three stanzas. the portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in 1 Chronicles 21. 1 Chronicles 21. And Satan stood up against Israel and provoked David to number Israel. And David said to Joab and to the rulers of the people, "Go and number Israel from Beersheba even to Dan, and bring the number of them to me, that I may know it." And Joab answered, "The Lord make his people 100 times so many more as they be. But my lord the king, are they not all my lord's servants? Why then doth my lord require this thing? Why will he be a cause of trespass to Israel?" And nevertheless the king's word prevailed against Joab. Wherefore Joab departed and went throughout all Israel and came to Jerusalem. And Joab gave the sum of the number of the people unto David. And all they of Israel were 1,000,000 and 100,000 men that drew sword. And Judah was 430,000 men that drew sword. But Levi and Benjamin counted he not among them, for the king's word was abominable to Joab. And God was displeased with this thing. Therefore he smote Israel. And David said unto God, "I have sinned greatly, because I have done this thing. But now I beseech thee, do away the iniquity of thy servant, for I have done very foolishly." And the Lord spake unto Gad, David's seer, saying, "Go and tell David, saying, thus saith the Lord, I offer thee three things. Choose thee one of them, that I may do it unto thee." So Gad came to David and said unto him, "Thus saith the Lord, choose thee either 3 years famine or 3 months to be destroyed before thy foes, while that the sword of thine enemies overtaketh thee, or else 3 days the sword of the Lord, even the pestilence in the land, and the angel of the Lord destroying throughout all the coast of Israel. And now therefore advise thyself what word I shall bring again to him that sent me." And David said unto Gad, "I am in a great strait. Let me fall now into the hand of the Lord, for very great are his mercies. But let me not fall into the hand of man." So the Lord sent pestilence upon Israel, and there fell of Israel 70,000 men. And God sent an angel unto Jerusalem to destroy it. And as he was destroying, the Lord beheld, and he repented him of the evil, and said to the angel that destroyed, it is enough. Stay now thine hand. And the angel of the Lord stood by the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite. And David lifted up his eyes and saw the angel of the Lord stand between the earth and the heaven, having a drawn sword in his hand stretched out over Jerusalem. Then David and the elders of Israel, who were clothed in sackcloth, fell upon their faces. And David said unto God, Is it not I that commanded the people to be numbered? Even I it is that have sinned and done evil indeed. But as for these sheep, what have they done? Let thine hand, I pray thee, O Lord my God, be on me and on my father's house, but not on thy people, that they should be plagued. Then the angel of the Lord commanded Gad to say to David, that David should go up and set up an altar unto the Lord in the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite. And David went up at the saying of Gad, which he spake in the name of the Lord. And Ornan turned back and saw the angel, and his four sons with him hid themselves. And now Ornan was threshing wheat. And as David came to Ornan, Ornan looked and saw David and went out of the threshing floor and bowed himself to David with his face to the ground. Then David said to Ornan, Grant me the place of this threshing floor, that I may build an altar therein unto the Lord. Thou shalt grant it me for the full price, that the plague may be stayed from the people. And Ornan said unto David, Take it to thee, and let my lord the king do that which is good in his eyes. Lo, I give thee the oxen also for burnt offerings, and the threshing instruments for wood, and the wheat for the meat offering, I give it all. And King David said to Ornan, Nay, but I will fairly buy it for the full price, for I will not take that which is thine for the Lord, and nor offer burnt offerings without cost. So David gave to Ornan for the place 600 shekels of gold by weight. And David built there an altar unto the Lord, and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings, and called upon the Lord, and he answered him from heaven by fire upon the altar of burnt offering. And the Lord commanded the angel, and he put up a sword again into the sheath thereof. At that time, when David saw that the Lord had answered him in the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite, then he sacrificed there. For the tabernacle of the Lord, which Moses made in the wilderness, and the altar of the burnt offering, were at that season in the high place at Gibeon. But David could not go before it to inquire of God, for he was afraid because of the sword of the angel of the Lord. Let us try to ask the Lord for a blessing. O Lord of the heavens and of the earth, we have come up to thy house in this evening hour for a special service, for a prayer service, where our government has spoken of a time of prayer and of reflection. And, Lord, then we humbly ask thee that thou may dwell richly amongst us, that thou may impress the solemnity of the times upon all our hearts, that we may receive a deep impression of our sins, of our unworthiness, and the need for the spirit of prayer and of supplication. Then it is written in thy word that thou wast send judgment upon the earth, and the whole earth lieth still. Lord, then thou wast spoken, may the inhabitants of the earth, may they be given to tremble, and may we be given to look unto thee. Lord, there are so many, also in our nation, that have not thy word, not the truth thereof, and that have never been taught to pray, that are filled with so many fears, where they have never been taught that reigneth over everything, even concerning the smallest virus, and that only under the shadow of thy wings then we are safe. Lord, we remember the many mourning ones that have lost a dear one by the hand of death, also by the virus. Those empty places are sorely felt. Wilt thou keep from rebellion and rising up against thee? We commend unto thee all the sick, those in the hospital, those on deathbeds. Wilt thou remember and help all those that labor in hospitals and the medical field? Wilt thou also impress upon their minds and their hearts that without thy blessing the means cannot, and then they shall not avail? Lord, remember the many that have lost their labors, that dwell in their homes. Wilt thou uphold, wilt thou encourage them in their distress, in their discouragements, and perhaps when they are despairing, Lord, may they then be given to look unto thee. Then the consequences, they are sorely felt by so many upon this earth and also in this province in that respect. Then thou wast greatly blessed us when we may still have labors to do, and what the future holds in unknown unto us. But it is written in thy word, may we be given to believe and embrace it, that thou hast the future in thy hands. Lord, we humbly ask thee that in this evening hour that thou may remember us and hear our feeble supplications. Thou can never do it because of anything in us. But Lord, thou could do it that the world may hear and see that thou art a prayer-hearing God. Oh, then mankind, then they have attempted much, and they are continuing in that way, but in general, not in asking and in acknowledging that thou wast everything in thy hand, oh Lord. Then under thy solemn judgments, then our country continues to depart further and further away from thee. We have been a nation that thou wast blessed from the east to the west. Thou wast placed us in a land flowing with milk and honey. Thou wast greatly prospered us. Thou wast given so many years of peace. Thou wast blessed the labors of our hand. We have become prosperous and we have become rich. But, O Lord, we have become proud. We have become independent. We have forsaken thee, the fountain of living waters. And we have hewn ourselves out broken cisterns. And they are cisterns that cannot hold water. Lord, our sins, they cry for thy vengeance from heaven. Where in our country the unborn continue to be murdered, the Sabbath day desecrated, the seventh commandment trampled upon, woe unto us that we have sinned. The crown has fallen from our head. Ah, Lord, when we consider those things, then trembling must fill our heart. But we may yet ask thee that thou may yet be mindful of us and that thou may show that thou wast everything in thy hand, also the little viruses, and that thou can say hitherto and no further. Lord, may it also please thee to grant that the whole congregation, we may all come freely to thy house. But, Lord, then in such an evening as this, then it is so necessary not only to think of our country, and then we commend our premier, and all those that stand at his side unto thee in this difficult and trying times. May it also be heard from their mouth that thou art the ruler and that thou must bless the means that we have sinned and that we need to repent. But, Lord, then it is so necessary in this evening that we turn in unto ourselves. Oh, concerning thy church, we have been so busy gathering prosperity upon this earth, and we have not remembered the word, remember, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness, and all other things shall be added unto it. Lord, we have become carnal. We have become earthly. We grieve thee in so many ways. We forget thee days without number. The inner chambers, they are not filled as they ought to be. Oh, those interceding Moseses, sighing Ezekiels, weeping Jeremiahs, they have become so thin. Oh, Lord, if we consider each and every one of us of our life, then we have so many reasons to be ashamed. How the Pharisee rules supreme, and the publican is so missed. Ah, Lord, also in the life of thy children, may they in this evening become a publican and be given to smite their breast, Lord. Then thou wast spoken already for so many months, and it is written in thy holy word that thou wert waiting to be gracious, waiting for thy church to turn from their worldly and evil ways, waiting for them to repent, waiting for those tears of contrition, awaiting for thy church to come in that low place with a confession of their sin and unrighteousness. Then thou wert waiting that sinners, that it may become their guilt, as it was with the Jonah of old. Lord, may it please thee in these solemn times to pour out thy Holy Spirit in a richer measure upon us and our children. May it please thee to do it in this very evening hour, that the risen Christ, that he may pour out those heavenly graces upon us and our children, and that we may be placed in the guilt by the first time and by renewal, but also with a deep impression that thou art long-suffering and that with thee there is mercy, O Lord. May in this solemn time, may there be a rich and a great ingathering amongst us and our children. May the prayers be multiplied to that end in these evil days. Forsake and leave us not. Ah, the prophet of old has prayed, although our iniquities testify against us. Oh, the Savior in the day of trouble, Lord, leave us not. Be not as a stranger in the land, or an astonished man that cannot save. May all the trials, may they be used, come forth out of thy hand for our good. Lord, wilt thou remember all the mourning ones, the elderly ones, all the sick and afflicted ones, bless the means of grace in the home, the church, in the school. Wilt thou also remember those that have the virus at the moment. Wilt thou graciously watch over us. And wilt thou remember us and our children. Lord, open thy word in this evening hour. anoint us with fresh oil from above. May thy word go forth with power divine and impress it upon all our hearts how solemn and how fearful the times are, and that the enmity against thee, thy word, and the truth, that is greatly on the increase. The handwriting is on the wall. The footsteps of King Jesus are heard. And may there be a hastening born for our life's sake. Oh, to find a place of safety, not only concerning the virus, but above all for our never-dying soul, that we may receive that only comfort out of free and sovereign grace for body and soul, for time and for eternity. Wilt thou pardon us of all of our sins, in Jesus' name, amen. Psalter 123, the stanzas 1, 2, and 3. If we have forgotten the name of our God, or unto an idol our hands spread abroad, shall not the Almighty uncover this sin? He knows all our hearts and the secrets within, and what follows. 123, the three stanzas. in this evening hour, with the help of the Lord. Then we wish to ask your attention for our text words, which you can find in 1 Chronicles 21, the verses 16, 17, and 18. And David lifted up his eyes and saw the angel of the Lord stand between the earth and the heaven, having a drawn sword in his hand, stretched out over Jerusalem. Then David and the elders of Israel, who were clothed in sackcloth, fell upon their faces. And David said unto God, "Is it not I that commanded the people to be numbered? Even I it is that have sinned and done evil indeed. But as for these sheep, what have they done? Let thine hand, I pray thee, O Lord my God, be on me and on my father's house, but not on thy people, that they should be plagued." Then the angel of the Lord commanded Gad to say to David, that David should go up and set up an altar unto the Lord in the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite. Our text words speak of David's unforgettable prayer day in the time of a great pestilence, with three thoughts. In the first place, the reason of the pestilence. In the second place, the confession with the pestilence. And in the third place, the commanded sacrifice to remove the pestilence. David's unforgettable prayer day in the time of a great pestilence. The reason of the pestilence, the confession with the pestilence, and the commanded sacrifice to remove the pestilence. Thus first, the reason for the pestilence. Beloved congregation, we have come together in this evening hour for a special prayer service, where our government has spoken of prayer and of reflection, reasons to be glad. But alas, the name of God was not even mentioned, not asked for the churches even to come up to God's house, but more for people to put their thoughts on social media and an hour of reflection. That is a sad reflection upon our province. Although we repeat it, still glad that there is spoken of prayer. When we consider former years, especially in the United States of America, and we read of prayer proclamations, President Abraham Lincoln in 1863, during the Civil War. Then he is called for a prayer day in that year on April the 30th. And when you read that proclamation, how biblical, how profound. A confession of the Lord's great goodness, that he has blessed that country as no other country has been blessed. The Lord has made him strong. But then the president has confessed intoxicated with success. We have become proud. We have become independent. We have forgotten the Lord, and to that end, the Lord has sent his judgments and a call. Oh, for a special day of humiliation, of fasting, and of prayer. The last 4 years, when President Donald Trump, when he was president of America, then also, because in America, the first Thursday of the month of May, that is a national day of prayer. And then also he was given to quote the Bible, mention the providence of the Lord, the need and the necessity of prayer. When we consider our province and that proclamation, then it is very sad, congregation, but in this evening hour, then it is the best that we stay closer to home, and that we also turn in unto our own hearts. I read in Psalm 10, verse 4, concerning the wicked, that God is not in all their thoughts. And how has it now been this day, congregation? How have we come up to God's house? Is there still a troubled people, knowing where we ought and must to come? And that is a low place in the dust, that place where a David has come in our text. There is a people upon the earth that know of those times. They know where they ought to come, can see it lay. But how to come there, they know not. It is a privilege and a blessing when on a prayer day that there are souls that need that risen King, whose resurrection we have remembered on the past Lord's Day, and who sitteth at the right hand of the Father, executing his threefold office. A people that need him as prophet, to be led into our great needs. Oh, that atoning high priest, that praying and thanking high priest at the right hand of the Father, but also that eternal King. It is already, for many months, began the past year in the middle of March, when the virus was rapidly spreading all over the earth. And then our rulers and the rulers over the length and the breadth of the earth, they have attempted much, but so little acknowledgement that with all the means that have been used and are being used, that it all depends upon the blessing of the Lord. So little impression upon this world, the necessity of repentance, given to turn from our evil and worldly ways, for us and our children. Oh, it is true, trials, mourning ones, burdens can be multiplied out. But for most of us, we have lived all of our lives in a time of prosperity where everything became more abundant with all the conveniences. Still a few elderly ones amongst us that still remember World War Number Two in the Netherlands, with all the death and with all the distress still vividly imprinted upon our mind. But for most of us, a time of prosperity that has never been realized, we would say, for so many years upon the face of the earth. And where has that prosperity now brought us, congregation? Has it now been the goodness of the Lord that has brought us and our children to that repentance, as I read in Romans 2, verse 4. Has that prosperity, has that brought us closer to this word, or further away from that word? How has it been with our souls, or with all the prosperity? And we must be diligent. We must work hard. Let us not despise it. But so busy with our own kingdom and not so busy with God's kingdom, young and old, have we learned that we are traveling to eternity, only one step between us and death. We have seen it in the past year that the Lord has many means to usher people out of this life, that it was not only the virus. And now when our text words in this chapter, then there was a special prayer day, was the work of the Spirit. The Lord has sent a pestilence upon the land of Israel. We have heard it, boys and girls, that there was an angel above Jerusalem with an outstretched sword, that pestilence would also come upon Jerusalem. What was the reason that the Lord has sent the pestilence? do we ask ourselves, what is the reason that the Lord has sent the virus that is so necessary and that is so profitable? This history that is also recorded in 2 Samuel 24. And now we read in this chapter, and Satan stood up against Israel and provoked David to number Israel. In 2 Samuel 24, verse 1, then we read, and again, the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel, and he moved David against them to say, do number Israel and Judah. How are we to understand it when we read, and he moved, the Lord moved David against them to say, go number Israel. Concerning the providence of the Lord, that is a deep matter. When Reverend Hellenbrook, when he is speaking in the lesson of the providence of the Lord, then there is also the question whether God, whether he also has a part in sin. Doth God's providence extend to sin also? And then the answer, yes, he permits it, limits it, and directs it to a certain end. Then he has added whether God is also the cause of sin. And then he has answered that a holy God can never be the cause thereof. And he hates and punishes sin. We have the example of the brothers of Joseph, that they have sold Joseph, all in the providence of the Lord. They are deep matters that we and our children cannot comprehend. When we read that Satan stood up against Israel, then it was under the permission of the Lord, and the devil can never force us. But he works upon our passions and our imagination that we may be enticed. Then the children of Israel, then it is true, David has come in the guilt. But the children of Israel in former chapters, what have they done? They have rejected the anointed king of the Lord, David. And they have chosen Absalom, who has stolen the hearts of the children of Israel. Thus, that people of Israel, they were a guilty people. And now David, then we see the necessity of the exhortation of the Lord Jesus Christ to his people. In Mark 13, verse 37, that we are given to watch and to pray, because when David, when he has requested Joab to number the people, then in former chapters we read it in the book of 2 Samuel, that in 2 Samuel 21, a famine has come, but also that there were mighty men that have slain different giants. We read the register of David's mighty men in 2 Samuel 23. But there was a great giant that had not been slain, and that was that big giant pride. And that has come to the foreground in this chapter. Oh, when we read 2 Samuel 22, then what a song of praise that David has sung to his God, of his wonderful works, of his wonderful deliverances. Oh, then it was the desire of David that the Lord would be glorified by all people. In 2 Samuel 23, verse 5, there David has confessed, although my house be not so with God. He had naughty children, many difficulties, but then he was given to rejoice in that everlasting covenant, well ordered in all things and sure. Then what a blessed place that David had been. And now, in this chapter, how it has become so different. And now we read that David, that he is called Job, and said, Job, you must go and number all the people in Israel, that I may know how many soldiers I have, even from Beersheba, that is from the south, to Dan in the north. You must be diligent, you must count them all, and bring that number to me. Thus there we see the great pride of David. And is our pride, is that not a great sin of our country, of our province, the church? Then we must include all of us. And now it is so necessary and a blessing when the Lord sends trials that we may come on a low place. And in the first place, examine our own hearts, and that we may become the guilty one. A census itself, that is not wrong, because the Lord is even commanded in Exodus 30, the verses 12 through 16, that Moses must take count of the children of Israel, and that for every soul, a half a shekel may be brought to the sanctuary. Thus we would say a religious census. But also in Numbers 1, when the children of Israel have left Mount Sinai, and in Numbers 26, when they would soon enter the promised land, then we read that by renewal, that the children of Israel were numbered. Thus, a census itself is not forbidden. Also in the business world, then inventory is taken. Also on the farm. And then what a blessing it is when that may become a religious exercise. Because when we have a little impression of that pride that dwells in our heart, and that it does not need anything to raise up its ugly head, then it is needful that we may come on our knees and ask the Lord for a deep impression that everything that the Lord has entrusted unto us as stewards, that it all comes from above, that it is only by the Lord's blessing on our labors when we may prosper and when we may be given to consider how the Lord has prospered us, that we ask the Lord to keep us from pride. And when that pride raises up its ugly head, even a proud thought, that we come on our knees and that we ask the Lord that he may pardon that thought, because through our deep fallen Adam, then we have become such wretched creatures. Thus, then it is clear from the scriptures that a census is not wrong. Think of that rich fool, that farmer, in Luke 12, when the Lord has greatly blessed his crops, then he is figured, and what a figuring there can be, people, and how soon crops can be destroyed and many other things. May the Lord grant a more dependent life. We have seen with the virus how much is changed in this world. How many have lost their jobs, their occupation, and their business. But now that rich fool, what was now his trouble? That he did not think about his soul, but he only thought about his crops, and that he did not think of the poor and of God's kingdom. Because if he had given away more, then perhaps his barns would have been large enough. But now for a David, it is clear. Because in the first verse of this chapter, then Satan is mentioned. He stood up against Israel and provoked David to number Israel. And the devil, he tempts the children of men that they may fall into sin. Thus then it is very clear that this request of David, that it was very sinful, that it was against the Lord's commandments. Oh, then it was the pride of David. The Lord has blessed him so greatly, and he had a desire to know the exact number of the soldiers, how many there were, and perhaps also with a purpose that he could conquer more countries. Our old fathers, when they have spoken of wars, then they have spoken of just wars and unjust wars. And now David, he is called Job, and he is given instruction. And then the Lord, in his great mercy, then Job was given to speak very wisely and very biblically. And Job answered to David, "The Lord make his people 100 times so many more as they be. But my Lord the King," thus do you hear it. In this chapter, before David has called for Job, and before he has requested to number the people, boys and girls, What has David now forgot to do? What do we not read in the first verses of this chapter? Then we do not read that David has mentioned the Lord. And in the second place, that David has not bowed his knees and asked the Lord whether he may number that people. What an instruction and lessons for us and our children. Oh, may it please the Lord to grant that under the solemn speaking of the Lord, that we may be more a praying people, and that for all our endeavors, not when we run stuck and when we come into difficulty, but that each time by renewal for boys and girls, for their schoolwork, for mothers in their home, with the children, fathers at work, you can multiply it out. Then the necessity, because Paul has written in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 17, to pray without ceasing. And that is what now was so missed. Also in this chapter, when we study the scriptures, and when the saints have not been on their knees, then it has went so wrong. But now the Lord in his tender mercies, then he still gives a warning to King David, that David would not continue on his course in the way of pride, but that he may receive an impression of the Lord's blessing. O congregation, when we read 2 Samuel 22 and the song of praise of David, when the high praises of the Lord were in his mouth, and when he was given to speak of the wonderful deliverances that the Lord has granted, and now at the end of his life, David has become old, then we see also what God's people remain, and that they need what Peter has written in 1 Peter 1 verse 5, kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last day. And also this chapter and our text words, what an earnest exhortation for young and old, more to be bound at the throne of grace, begging the Lord that he may prosper us, that he may keep us, that he may keep us from sin and temptation. But oh, that awful sin of pride. An old father has written that it was the first sin in paradise, that we wanted to be as God, that we wanted to be kings, that we wanted to reign. And that old father has written that it shall be the last sin that is laid in the grave. Oh, that awful pride that robs God of his glory, that is low thoughts of the Lord, that God is dishonored. Ah, that was the sin of David in his old life. And now the Lord in his tender mercies, then he has yet checked David that he would not continue. What a privilege, young and old, when the Lord still comes unto us, and that we cannot go on a wrong way. Oh, it can be so subtle, especially in the way of pride. And Job answered, the Lord make his people. What an instruction by that Job. No, Job was not a converted man, but he was used for King David as a warning and that a David would not continue, and that a David would come in the inner chamber on his knees, confessing his foolishness before the Lord, and trying to rob God of his glory. Oh, then a Job, and then he said unto David, the Lord, that is Jehovah, in capital letters, that everlasting, that faithful covenant God, O David, have you now forgotten the Lord, from whom all blessings come? Because they read in James 1 verse 17, that every good gift and every perfect gift cometh from above, from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness nor shadow of a turning. O David, who was called you from behind the shepherd, behind the sheep. O David, who has kept thee so many years also in the time of persecution. O David, why is it that Absalom is not on the throne, but that thou mayst still be the king of Israel? O David, hast thou now forgotten the Lord, the living God, who has prospered thee so greatly? Oh, then we see how low it has come in the life of David. Oh, young and old, is that not a picture of our country? We are a country from the east to the west, a land of minerals, a land flowing with milk and honey. The Lord has blessed us, but we have become proud. We have forgotten the Lord. We have despised his law and his institutions. Oh, think of the unborn that are still murdered, the older ones that are euthanized. Think of the seventh commandment, that the creation ordinances is more trampled upon. Oh, then we have forgotten the Lord, the fountain of all good, and we have hewn out ourselves cisterns. The Lord is speaking unto also our country with the sending of the virus. And then the Lord is showing that without his blessing, whatever man attempts, that it cannot avail. But, oh, young and old, I read in 1 Peter 4, verse 17, that the time has come, that the judgments must begin at the house of God. Oh, can we stand above David? Are we troubled with that pride? Has it become sin? Have we been given to confess that we have forgotten the Lord days without number? Oh, under this time, have we been given to confess that we have not honored the Lord? Oh, the church is no longer the light upon a hill and the salt of the earth. The Lord is speaking. And now above all, how has it now been this last time, 13, 14 months, has all become so different? Maybe many are becoming weary. We desire that our life may return as it was. And then congregation. That may now happen. Return as it was. And what then? Are there a few souls where it has become different? And where also our pride, that it has become sin? Because, boys and girls, I've told you before, the center letter of sin, what is that? It's I. So sin, we think of self. We think not of our neighbor. And we think not of the Lord. What more must the Lord do that we may be converted? Oh, I hope. There are many troubled among young and old. And may we be given to beg more earnestly that the Lord may pour out his Holy Spirit. Oh, that risen King who was resurrected and who sits at the right hand of the Father. Oh, then Job, the Lord make his people. Do you hear it, David? Then maybe we would think, David, have you now become so dull of hearing? When a Job is speaking to you, a special messenger, you have not thought about the Lord. Mention his name at least. Because David did not say, Job, you must count the people so I may know how great the Lord is and how he has blessed me and fulfilled his promise. No, that David has not said. And now Job says, David, his people. So all those soldiers are not your soldiers. Israel is not thy people, but it is the Lord's people. Then we would think that David has fallen through his knees. But oh, that awful pride. And it can be so subtle. Oh, later he had to confess how foolish he was. 100 times so many more as they be. But my Lord the King, are they not all my Lord's servants? Why then doth my Lord require this thing? Why will he be a cause of trespass to Israel? Thus Job has given clear instruction to David. Nevertheless, the king's word prevailed against Job. Job is a beautiful type. Do you also have those Job's congregation? When you got wrong thoughts in your mind and in your heart and plans, of course, then prayer does not go so well. Children can even understand when we want to do something wrong. Let's say you must never do it. Let's say if you want to steal a cookie. Then if we go on our knees, then prayer shall not go so well, because then we have this voice inside that is the Lord speaking. That is just like a Job, our conscience. Then it is the warning voice of the Lord that we must refrain. But the king's word prevailed. Then we see congregation that we need to be kept. Even when our conscience speaks, oh, and Satan, because we read at the beginning, Satan had a part in it, and how we can try to justify ourselves. Many excuses, the time that we live in, the environment, other people do it. Even God's people maybe do it. Very sad, of course. What an excuses there can be. And then Job, then he has left many servants. In 2 Samuel 24, then we read that he has different headquarters, one from the south to the north. David is anxiously awaited that Job may come back with that number. He thought then he would be happy. Then he would be delightful when he knew how many soldiers he had that could fight. And then the time has come. And the number was great, because we read in Israel, 1,100,000. And in Judah, 470,000. They have returned after 9 months and 20 days. How do you think it was with David during that time? Do you think he had that close life, that tender life? Oh, what David, he could continue that whole 9 months and 20 days without coming into guilt. Is that our picture, congregation? Already 13 months, nearly. And without coming into guilt, without repentance, without confession. And what do you think, congregation? Was David now happy? When Job, and even with that number, we read, we have heard it, he is not called Levi, counted Levi, or the tribe of Benjamin, thus it was not even the total number. And even these numbers, we read thereof in 1 Chronicles 27, verse 24, but he finished not, because there fell wrath for it upon Israel, neither was the number put in the account of the Chronicles of King David. Thus they did not even have time to put those numbers in the Chronicles, because many of that number would soon be taken away by the cold hand of death. Oh, what David, he did not receive that contentment and that happiness which he had expected. And then David, he came on a good place. That was not David's doing. That was the work of the Holy Spirit. That David, when he has received that number, because we read in verse 7 of another and God was displeased with this thing. What a solemn proclamation. God was displeased. Anger of the Lord was kindled. And then we read, oh, what a blessing that it did not take another 9 months and 20 days for a David to come into guilt. But that has immediately happened. Then by the Spirit, then a David was given to see that he has not sought the things of the Lord, as we read in Philippians 2, verse 21, not thought the things, sought the things of Jesus Christ, but sought his own things. And then a David. Oh, what a confession. And David said unto God, I have sinned greatly. It's not a minor sin. Pride, I have sinned greatly because I have done this thing so necessary each time by renewal, that sins are confessed in particulars, also concerning our pride. Necessary, profitable, that in the evening we can so quickly say, Lord, forgive the sins of this day. Do that, right, boys and girls, young people, older ones? Still part of our petition, right? Or is that not part of our petition anymore? do we not have any sins. But not only in general, but that there may be those times, and not only words, oh Lord, spoken unadvisably, Lord, been so earthly and so carnal. Lord, those proud thoughts, I've been so busy counting today, and it has not humbled me. Does the fear ever come upon us, congregation, when we are busy with our daily work and we are counting, that we have those thoughts, and that God is not honored, that we are afraid that the Lord shall come against us? We shall close for this evening. The Lord grants it, perhaps on the Lord's day we can continue. But now the question is not whether we are sinners. Oh, if we have a little self-knowledge, then we shall not stand above David, because that pride that reigns in all our hearts. There's, of course, a difference whether we feed that pride or we strive against it and ask the Lord to make us small and to keep us small. That is another thing. Those moments can be so short. But now on prayer day, not to speak of our government, the first place, and other people, but for David, Israel, so many soldiers, all sinners, but now a prayer day that David became the guilty one. And then he has said, I have sinned greatly because I have done this thing. But yet a prayer for mercy. But now I beseech thee, do away the iniquity of thy servant, for I have done very foolishly. That is where it must come, congregation. And the guilt with repentance, oh David, could never undo what he has done. Because that number has been recorded. There was no way that could be erased. What an awful thing that sin is. And it is all recorded before the Lord. But was this now enough? Oh, it is a blessing when we may come on that place of a David. I have done what was evil in thy sight, O Lord. I have done so foolishly. Lord, shall it now never become better? The one time this, and then to guard against that foolishness, and then we fall into the next foolishness. Oh, how necessary, young and old, for mercy. Oh, that we may be given to need, because David has experienced, oh, a blessed place. When we may come in the dust with a solemn impression, oh, bowing under the justice of the Lord, that the Lord is right, we hope to hear it later in this chapter. But what shall the church experience? A confession that is not forgiveness. And to that end, the wonder for David, the Lord. Oh, the Lord shall remember his child. And what a David has experienced that is necessary each time by renewal. Oh, what that would take place. And then it would be a true prayer day. Then we would not have to think of other people. Oh, and let us yet mention when a David has counted, what a counting there has been the last 13 months. Oh, the counting of how many virus cases. Oh, we do not hear so much counting concerning the financial debt of our province. But, oh, young and old, may there come another counting in our life. and that is the counting of our sins. The psalmist has confessed in Psalm 40, verse 12, that they are so innumerable more than the hairs of our head. Ah, that the Lord may grant that godly sorrow of which I read in 2 Corinthians 7, verse 10, a godly sorrow that leadeth to repentance, not to be repented of, and not to rest in that sorrow, and not to rest in that confession, but, oh, as a David, by renewal, to receive instruction, oh, in the Old Testament, at all points to the precious meritorial work of Christ Jesus, that he was willing to take all the sins, also the foolishness, also this counting, oh, the pride of David, that he was willing to take all the sins of David and to cast them away in the sea of eternal forgetfulness. Oh, we have heard it on Good Friday, what it has cost that precious mediator, young and old. It may still be declared that there is a Savior for sinner, the Lord. He is speaking to us. Ah, may there be that we may experience that many among young and old may come to that place of David to become the guilty sinner. Ah, with that confession. Oh, in the life of a David when he has come to that place, and then the love was poured out in his heart. Ah, given to reflect that he has sinned against so much goodness. Oh, the church learns what a wonder it is when they may receive grace after committing so much evil. But now, after receiving so much grace, then to commit so much evil. Ah, to learn each time by renewal that we are so foolish. And to that end, oh, the necessity of the prayer, of Psalm 17, verse 5, that the Lord may hold us up in his way, that our footsteps slip not. Amen. Let us close. Our Lord, may it please thee to work mightily by thy Spirit, and that under thy solemn judgments, the judgment of the virus that continues to spread over the earth and also in this province, that we may come on the place of David with the confession of our sin and also with the repentance. Ah, Lord, we have become so like unto the world. Wilt thou then work lovingly and mightily in the hearts of us and our children? And wilt thou grant soon a time that we may all freely come up to thy courts? Ah, Lord, then by renewal we have to confess. There are no reasons in us, but thou could answer prayer, that our province, that our premier, and all those that stand at a side, that they may be given to hear, that upon feeble prayers, that thou hast done wonders. Lord, our leaders also need to be converted, just like us and our children. Well, thou now watch over us in the furtherance of this week. Bring us safely to our dwellings. Pardon us of all of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Our closing psalter, Psalter 221, the stanzas 1, 2, and 3. A great shepherd, who leadest thy people in love, mid cherubim dwelling, shine thou from above. And what follows? 221, 1, 2, and 3. receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. And the Lord bless thee and keep thee. And the Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.